did want to mention in the bulletin, there should be this green sheet of paper, an insert, says call to prayer. And these are requests that come to us from our Division of International Ministries, and they provide this once a month. Take this and keep it with you in your Bible, perhaps, for your devotional time, and there is some things there that you might pray about and include in your prayer time, intercession for international workers and the needs that they express there. One of those that we prayed in this morning about, last week as well, concerning, it says praying over headlines, and as we hear the headlines in that, we have international workers in many places, in those places that you're hearing about, and, in addition to normal ministry stresses, then there's the events that are occurring, and they ask us to pray for them, that they put their hope in God, and are sustained by Him in those circumstances as well. So those are relevant for us in these days. So this is if, any children are here to go at this time for children's church. It's for those who are in fifth grade and younger. Perhaps they've already departed. Didn't wait on me to realize that it was time for that, but that's good. Glad they were able to do that. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week we began to speak on just this little portion, verses 17 to 22. I'm going to read that. We called it Navigating the Detours of Life, and so this is part two of that particular section of Scripture that we're looking at, and the thing that we're talking about is our unexpected detours that come into our life, not by our choice. And so I want to read verses 17 through 22 from Exodus 13. And again, if you are using one of the church's Bibles that you might find in the chair in front of you, turn to page 51. This passage is there. And if this is just after the 10 plagues in Egypt, the last one being the death of the firstborn, in which the Passover was a reminder of later. They observed the first Passover there in chapter 12, and they have not yet gone through the Red Sea. The parting of the Red Sea has not occurred, but they are leaving Egypt, and this passage talks about that moment when they're leaving. And so they're at verse 17. Of chapter 13, preserved for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and preserved inerrant in the Bible, beginning of verse 17, it's written, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." So we were talking about the detours of life. And so I wonder how your week was this past week. Did you have any unexpected detours in your life this past week? Now, by a detour, if you'll recall, I'm referring to the providential turns that life takes. These are circumstances or challenges in life that you wouldn't choose for yourself, but they are presented to you. And while you wouldn't choose them for yourself, God has chosen them for you. And we discovered that there are at least a couple of reasons, and I'm sure there are more, but this passage really directed our attention to two reasons that God may lead you down an unexpected path. And so first, last week, we noticed that the Lord does so because of our weaknesses. The text tells us this is what God did with Israel when he led them out of Egypt. They were not ready for the challenges of war that they would have surely encountered on the more direct route. We talked last week how the route that it says that they didn't go, that was a well-worn path for the armies of Egypt to take. There were outposts, there were fortresses of Egyptians along that path, and so instead of taking them that direction, God led them, you know, the other way that he took them, and that was because of their weakness. They thought they were ready, he knew they were not, and so he took them on a more circuitous route. And the Lord, we talked about, does the same for us, that he tailors our experiences to address the weaknesses in our own life, in our own character perhaps, in our own spirit that he knows about, and he moves us then forward in our walk of faith. The second reason that we mentioned for finding ourselves on a detour in life is because of our needs. So it was weaknesses and then also our needs. God knows our needs better than we do. And sometimes we need to be tested to make our faith grow. For this reason, we shouldn't despise the detours of life. Instead, we should look for the lesson that God is teaching us in the detour. Now, when I was just 21 years old, I hurt my back. I waited to see if I'd get better, and it never quite did. I was working in the oil field in Northeast Ohio and doing a lot of heavy labor, and the guys started to notice that when I walked, I was dragging my right leg, and it just didn't go away. And so after 6 months, or after longer than that, actually, I decided to go to a doctor, and I had to have surgery at the age of 22, and the surgery didn't work. I had to have a second surgery, and I was off work for a total of 6 months as I waited in convalescence there. It was a detour that I would not have chosen for myself. I was to be married later that year, and I needed to work, but God had other plans for me at that time. And as I look back on that experience, there were so many things that God was doing in my life. He was building my character. It gave me time to do serious study of the scripture that helped me grow in the knowledge of the Lord, and that has established for me a foundation of scriptural understanding that I still benefit from today. The Lord did many other things in my life at that time and through that experience, but that was a detour that I would have bypassed had I been given the choice. However, God knew my need, and he directed my life accordingly. So you too have faced, or are facing, or will face some detours in your life. And I'm well aware that many of these detours will be unpleasant, and that some of them may be quite long. But they all can be and are designed to be beneficial to your spiritual life. But that depends on how you respond. That depends on whether you have the courage to allow your faith to be stretched. Israel was taken on a detour in the wilderness of the Red Sea. They would be challenged. Their faith would be tested over the next 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. They were headed out into uncharted territory in their experience. To help them on their way, and this is very gracious of God, He does these kinds of things in our life. To help them on their way, God gave them some encouragement. And that's what I want to talk about today. That the Lord provided Israel with two examples of faith that would encourage Israel to also then have faith in him for the journey, the detour that lie before them. So if you have an outline from that was in your bulletin and you're wanting to use that, we come to the first point then. So the first example to encourage the faith of Israel is this example of Joseph. It was the faith of Joseph in God's future grace. The faith of Joseph in God's future grace. This is an example that we see there in verse 19. I'm going to read it. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. What do you think it would have done for Israel when Moses had them dig up the bones of Joseph so that they could carry his bones to the promised land? This was a significant statement of hope in God. Think about the faith of Joseph. Now talk about a life that was filled with detours, things that he didn't choose for himself, but that providence thrust upon him, and he had to rely upon God in his life. He was loved by his father Jacob, but despised by his brothers. First they plotted to kill him, and then they decided instead of killing him, let's sell him into slavery. So he was taken into captivity to Egypt, where he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. And we read this beginning in Genesis chapter 37, right? So the last part of the book of Genesis is about Joseph and his life. So God prospered Joseph, and he became the overseer of Potiphar's household. But then we read Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph, and he found himself in prison. But once in prison, God again prospered him, and he became the chief trustee of the prison. Joseph helped one of his fellow prisoners, who as a result was released. But that prisoner forgot Joseph. He was supposed to help him get out. And so Joseph's stay in prison was prolonged. Then he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream and was released from prison and made the governor of all of Egypt. And in that position, years after he was first sold into slavery, he was the one who saved his brothers and his father's family from famine. Few people have experienced as many ups and downs in life. One minute there was blessing, the next incredible injustice in his life. But Joseph's faith did not waver. Most of us are familiar with his statement of faith that you find in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. He looks back on the incredible twists and turns of his life, the cruelty that he suffered at the hands of his brothers and strangers alike. And he says to his brothers in that moment, when they realize that it is Joseph who stands before them, and he's having mercy on them, and he's actually going to save them and their families from famine. Joseph said this as his brothers confessed what they had done to him. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." What a statement of faith. I had a professor in seminary, David Siemens. You may have read his book, Healing for Damaged Emotions. He called that having 50-20 vision, right? An eye doctor wants you to have 20-20 vision. David Siemens says, spiritually, we ought to have 50-20 vision, the kind of vision Joseph had, where we can look at our life and realize that even when the bad things occurred and there was evil present, God used it for good in our life. That's the faith of 50-20 vision. So you probably remember that statement from Joseph. But how often do you think of this second statement of faith from Joseph that is quoted here in Exodus 13, verse 19? Look again. This is what Joseph said. God will surely come to your aid. He's looking far into the future. He knows they're going to be held in captivity at some point. But he says, God will come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. A profound statement of faith. Comes at the very end of the book of Genesis. After all the incredible twists and turns of Joseph's life, I mean, he suffered greatly at the hands of unjust men, and he was about to die in Egypt. But Joseph looks into the future with faith. He had confidence in the ability of God to fulfill all the promises that God had made. He trusted the wisdom and goodness and the providence of God that led him down his life's path. And he was satisfied that God had led him through each detour of life, that each of those detours had a purpose in God's plan. And he looked to the future for the grace that God would one day bring. And he was certain of it. Surely God will come to your aid, said Joseph. And he says, when he does, take my bones with you to the promised land. This is an example of a great man of faith, one who suffered much, one who could have been bitter, yet was filled with hope for the future because he believed God. Where does this hope come from? Well, that's the stuff of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the ability to trust the character of God, to believe that he'll do what he says he will do, to believe that he can do even the impossible. So faith believes the promise of Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Faith believes the promise of Jeremiah 29:11 that states, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I guess one of the truest tests of our hope in Christ is the hope that we have in the face of death. Because if the scriptures are true, and they are, even then we have hope. In his book, Deserted by God, and by the way, that title is a question mark, Deserted by God, author and pastor Sinclair Ferguson shares the following story. He writes, the first physician to die of the AIDS virus in the United Kingdom was a young Christian. He had contracted it while doing medical research in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, through an accidental stick with a needle. In the last days of his life, his power of communication failed. He struggled with increasing difficulty to express his thoughts to his wife. On one occasion, she simply could not understand his message, so he wrote on a notepad the letter J. She opened up a medical dictionary and she began to go down through finding the words that began with the letter J, but none of them was right. And then she said, Jesus? In relaying the story, Sinclair Ferguson concludes that was the right word. The husband was saying Jesus was with them. That was all either of them needed to know. And that is always enough. This is what is meant by faith in future grace. You hope in Christ. You place your future in his hands. You believe the promises he gives to you, and ultimately you rest assured in his promise of the resurrection. Joseph believed the promises of God. He rested in the hope that God's grace was his for the future. During the wilderness journey, the people of Israel would look up ahead and see Joseph's coffin being carried, full of his bones. And they would know that God has his timing and he keeps his promises. Joseph was dead, but the presence of his bones bore witness to the faithfulness of God. And this encouraged the faith of the people. And so we may believe in the future grace of God. God is with us. He will carry us through. We will experience all the promises that he's given to us in Christ Jesus. They are yes and amen to us, says Paul. There's a second source of encouragement for the Israelites that I see here. As they set out on this detour through the wilderness, this second source of encouragement to them was the faithfulness of their leader, Moses. The faithfulness of Moses. Moses demonstrated faith and faithfulness. How easy it would have been for him to leave Joseph's bones in the ground there in Egypt and consider it an unreasonable request agreed to by a people who were no longer present. Would anyone even remember this vow to Joseph? But this was an issue of integrity as a leader. This is a word to church leaders. It's a word to elders. It's a word to the pastor. It's a word to missionaries. It's also a word to parents or anyone who has been entrusted with some form of spiritual authority over others. Israel had made a vow with Joseph. It was a vow that demonstrated their trust in the Lord, that he would do what he said he would do. So Moses, as leader of Israel, was given opportunity to demonstrate his integrity. He was being tested to see if he would honor a vow that was made by doing something that would provide Israel with a tangible witness to the promises of God. Every time they looked at that coffin, the people would know that Moses was a man of his word and that he believed that God would keep his word. Moses was being tested to see if he'd follow through in faith and faithfulness. Now, the kind of test that you and I may face will be different than that faced by Moses. But your act of faith in the promises of God for the future and your integrity in living out your convictions are important in the influence you have on the people that God has given you to impact or to lead. Dale and Anita are friends of ours from our Asbury days. Rose worked with Anita in the admissions office of the college. And I admire Dale and Anita because they choose to live according to God's direction for their lives, and they don't allow what others think to cause them to shrink back. The pursuit of the American dream is not what they have lived for. They live by faith. They don't always play it safe. They take risks for God. Dale gave up a job that had health insurance to work at something else that he really believed God wanted him to do. That meant that he and his family were vulnerable if illness struck. Well, during that time, Anita had a difficult pregnancy, which resulted in hospital bills for which they had no insurance to cover. But they trusted God. They prayed. Dale worked. And over time, they paid off their bills. God provided, and their children learned some lessons about living by faith in those days. At another time in their lives, Dale was the caretaker of a church campground, and that wasn't a high-paying job, but they had a place to live and a steady income. And after several years, they began to feel restless, as if God was calling them to something else, and it became evident to them that it was time to leave the campground, but they didn't know what they would end up doing permanently. So for a year, they lived on an Indian reservation and ministered to the children there who were in a school. They helped out in the kitchen, they cared for the grounds, and whatever other jobs needed to be done, this is what they occupied themselves at for this year, serving and ministering to the staff and the children of that school. And that was preparation for what God would have them do next, because it was more directly related to ministry than any of their previous jobs. They lived and worked then at a discipleship camp in Missouri. It was an advanced program where men from a local homeless shelter who were serious about changing their lives could go to be discipled. Dale, Anita, and their three children lived on the grounds because Dale, again, was a caretaker, but he was more than that. He was actively involved with the men in discipleship and overseeing their work on the grounds. And Dale and Anita saw men's lives changed. They also saw the frustration of men starting out but failing to follow through. Anita visited Rose and I during this time, and when we were living out here, when we had the parsonage there, she came to visit, brought her kids with her, and she was telling us about their ministry at this discipleship camp. And as she talked about this, I couldn't help but wonder what it was like having their young family live on the grounds where there were men who were struggling to overcome substance abuse problems. They had been homeless, they had criminal history, and they were otherwise unknown to Dale and Anita. I asked her if she was ever afraid for the safety of her children. And Anita said, well, she says, I've been asked that before. And she says, I can't really explain it, but we know that we are exactly where God wants us to be. And we have prayed for our family's safety, and God has given us a settled peace. And through the faithfulness of these parents, three children learned lessons every day about living by faith. Living by faith. These three children today are living shining examples of the Christian life. One of them is in Costa Rica with Dale and Anita, helping out with orphan children there today. But a life of faithfulness, a life of integrity that impacts the people around you. So the detours of life teach us about the faithfulness of God. They can sometimes be very difficult, but their aim is to get us to draw closer and closer to the Lord. Through these times, we learn that we really can trust the Lord in all things. So you learn to trust God for future grace. You place your hope in Christ. You put your future in your hands. You trust the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then you demonstrate that faith every day. You put one foot in front of the other, just as Israel was forced to do as they went through the wilderness. One foot in front of the other, and faithfully live according to God's will for your life. By your integrity, you demonstrate to those who are around you that you believe that God is faithful. And this is how we are encouraged to make it through these detours of life and live to the glory of God. Would you bow with me?